church, it's time for you guys to dismiss. So if you guys would like to go out, you can. I don't know about you, but I got my cup so full I'm about to run over right here. I don't know if anybody else has got a blessing today, but I'm about tore up. So if I take a shout and spell a run, you just let me go, all right? You know, when we get a hold of this thing called Christianity and we see it for where it really is, if it don't make us excited and happy, something's wrong. And don't make us want to shout and just cry out to the Lord and thank Him so much for what He's done for us. Wow, wow, what a Savior. Only by the blood. I was thinking as I was, I actually did the Bible study for the men. We had our men's meeting last week, and I was in Romans chapter 8, and I got hung up in Romans chapter 8, and I told them it's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and so I'm going to be preaching out of Romans chapter 8 today, and I just couldn't get enough of it, to be honest with you. And I was thinking about, and I asked my young adults this morning, how many of us, with a show of hands, have you ever had a bad day? Raise your hand. I think it's pretty unanimous, right? We've all had bad days. And it kind of, it's different for different people on what a bad day might be. It might be the loss of a loved one, a relationship that's gone astray. It could be many, many things. I mean, it could be as bad as not having any coffee in the morning. You ever woke up, the coffee's run out. That's a bad day at my house, but really, all joking aside, we have bad days, and so I want to encourage us, and I love Romans chapter 8 because, imagine this, it comes right after chapter 7, and what Paul has done, and Paul has just revealed himself, he's tore off the veneer. Paul, one of the greatest apostles of the Scripture, wrote more books than anybody, and I mean, the depth and the magnitude that we have, he gives these great works, and yet we see he's opened up himself to us in chapter 7, and he's talking about this battle that goes on within himself. And can anybody relate to that? That this fleshly battle that goes on, sometimes it's like pulling at me this way. I know the Spirit is there, and God's Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us when we're saved and we're a child of God. It comes to dwell in us, but it's surrounded by this unredeemed flesh. And Paul talks about this struggle that's going on. He even says, you know, the things that I want to do, those are the things I don't do, and the things that I'm not supposed to do, that's what I end up doing. Boy, that sounds familiar to you sometimes. It just resonates in me because there's this battle that goes on. And Paul even gets to the point at the end of 7 where he says, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of sin? Have you ever been there? You end up doing the things you know, or those little hurdles, those little stumbling blocks that all your life you might have struggled with, and you think that you've overcome it, and you tripped up again, and you find yourself saying, Lord, forgive me. It's like, God, why don't you just take a hammer and take me out sometimes because of my weakness? Paul, I love it after he gets done with he looks like he's throwed up his hand because of this fleshly battle that goes in all of us. And he says there in 25 of 7, he says, but I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He realized, you know what, our struggle, just like his struggle, will only be won through Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And I wanted to encourage you this morning. And the title of this message is Life in the Spirit. How is it that we can overcome that battle that we have daily, if we're living and breathing and we're serving Jesus Christ? How is it that we can overcome those fleshly things that pull at us and our reaction? And we'll talk more about that as we get into the sermon. How is it? And I feel like Paul gives us four principles in Romans chapter 8 that we're going to look at and look upon this morning. It's going to be Romans chapter 8, verse 12 through 18. And let's read it. Let's stand to honor God's word as we read this morning. Romans chapter 8, 12 through 18, and Paul says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You, God, it's so real and relevant to us today. I pray that You will speak through me, but hide me, God. May it not be my words, but Your words speaking to our heart. Thank You for this privilege. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. So, Paul, when he gets to 12, we're going to set the context. We've already talked about chapter 7, and this is where he's revealed himself and his struggle that he has. But he gets into 8, and he starts out with 8, and he realizes, you know, that I'm not going to be condemned. This was our Bible study. I'm not going to stand condemned before Christ or God one day because of what Jesus has done for me. You've heard people say, and you might even heard preached that, oh, I'm going to stand before the Lord with blood on my hands for people that I have not told about Christ. The only blood that will be on you will be the blood of Jesus Christ as you stand before God. You will not be condemned. Yes, we'll stand accountable for our sins. We'll stand accountable for what we've done with what God's given us. But we won't stand condemned because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. The blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul's getting to. He realizes he has this struggle. He has these fleshly things that go on and this fight that goes on. But he also realized he'd never stand condemned because of what Jesus had done in his life. You see, on that road to Damascus one day, as Paul was going to persecute Christians, the light of Christ shined in his heart and knocked him off of that old horse. And he come up a different man. He went down. Because Christ, he said, who are you persecuting? Who is it you're persecuting? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus. And Paul was changed forever. He went from a persecutor man to a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, you're talking about going from the dark to light. That was Paul. But Paul, we see his heart. He realized, hey, this carnality, this flesh that I'm surrounded by, he said, it's constantly this battle. So how is it that I can overcome these things that go on in my life? How is it that when I have a bad day that I can hold on to that which Christ has put in me? And that's when he gets into 8 and he talks about these things. He talks about in verse 9 about Christ in you. Look what he says in 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. The Spirit's not in you. You're lost. Period. You're not backslid. If your life is not marked by the Spirit of God in you, you are lost. Paul said it's in you. If Christ comes to dwell in you, believe me, you're going to know it. We'll talk more about that. And look, he says not only that in you in verse 9, but look at 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Paul said if the Spirit's dwelling within us, guess what? There's life going to come through you. We're not going to be controlled by the flesh. And look at 11. But if the Spirit of Him who was raised Jesus... Listen, boy, this will make you shout. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It's the same hope that we have for resurrection one day. Christ in us, the hope of glory, Paul says in Colossians. So he gets to 12 here, and he's looked at this, and he saw himself, he saw the battle, and he gets to 12, and he says, I want you to see these four principles. And first is, review the responsibility. Paul said, these are principles. Review the responsibility, 12 and 13. Paul says, therefore, brethren. And you say, when you see therefore, you need to see what it's there for, what he's talking about. He's going back over what he's just covered. And he really, when he says that, it sounds like we are obligated, don't it? We have this obligation. One of our responsibilities is a forsaking of the flesh. You say, Dave, what is the flesh? Let me tell you what the flesh is. It's all about me. The flesh is, how do I know what's the difference between the flesh and the spirit? Well, the flesh is all about me, what I can get, what I eat, what I wear, what I do. What I want, that's a life controlled by the flesh, and that's the battle that we have every day. I, flesh. Think about our commercials. I mean, seriously. Look at your commercials on TV. What's it all about? What you can get, what you can eat, how you can look.
I mean, it's all about, look, this is what makes you look good. You're driving these big old fancy cars, so that makes me important. I'm partying it up, so that makes me cool. I mean, it's all about the flesh. It's all about giving into that flesh, and the world feeds on that. And that's what the world's about, and the world view is about you. If you don't take care of you, nobody will. That's what they say. The Bible says, don't worry about you. It's all about me. And that's the difference in the spirit. It's a forsaking. It's putting aside the things of the flesh, putting you aside, and allowing the Spirit of God to dwell in you and guide you and direct your life. That's what our responsibility is. Listen to this. God's temple is no longer a place that people go, but the temple goes out to the people. The temple now dwells within us. You know, we don't go to the temple. We are the temple. We take God out to the world. That's what we're called to do. That's why we come here on Sunday morning, to draw strength. I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church, praise God. I get to be with good people that love Lord Jesus Christ, that it's all about coming together and worshiping and drawing strength for one another so that the temple can go out into the week, into the workforces, into the schools, into the places, and we can represent Christ. Because we've drawn strength together, man. We worship together. We love the Lord. Therefore, we're under obligation, like the song said. We're bought with a price, aren't we? What was the price? The blood of Jesus Christ. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ for His redeemed. Because He has bought us and paid that price, that penalty for sin. You see, that's what it was all about, reconciling us to God. We were separated from God, but Christ bridged the gap between heaven and earth through His blood. And because of His shed blood and because of His death, His burial, and resurrection, we could be at peace with God now. And that because He bought us, then we're obligated. And we're obligated to do, forsake the flesh, the things of the flesh of the world, and allow Christ's Spirit to dwell in us and take the temple out to the lone world. Look at 13. He says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." It's our lives that play out whose we are. It's your life that marks out. Are you living by the flesh? Are you controlled by the flesh? Do you allow the flesh to make all your decisions? He said that's the lie. And it says in 13 that if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That's not a marker of life in our life. Oh yeah, we struggle. We struggle, we talked about, we have this struggle, but it's not a marker that that's what our whole life is controlled by our flesh, what we want, what we say, what we do. He said, if that's a marker in your life and that's all your life is about, guess what? It's dead. You don't have the Spirit of God that dwells in you. He's not talking about just a battle or a struggle every day. He's talking about a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of the flesh. And he said, that's death. I don't care what aisle you walked. I don't care where you was at, what prayer you prayed. If God didn't change you and His Spirit doesn't dwell in you, you're lost. Please don't miss out on that. Please don't leave here lost. If you've never been changed, if there's not a marker of Christ in your life, I'm going to tell you what. And when you sit, here's the bad thing about preaching. Here's the hard part about preaching. When you preach God's Word, you will never stand before God and say, "Well, I didn't know. I didn't hear." In fact, when you hear these words, there's no doubt in my mind there'll be degrees of hell that people that sat Sunday after Sunday and heard the Word preached and heard the truth preached and rejected it, now they'll be in the lowest parts of hell in the greatest torment. And I don't want that as a preacher. I don't want that to stand. That's what cuts going and coming. Because I realize when you preach this Word, you're preaching the truth. And that truth will stand a marker and people will be judged on that truth. Don't stand here. Don't sit here. Don't let anybody allow you to keep from knowing Jesus Christ. Don't let your pride, I don't care how long you've been in church, I don't care what you do, don't let your nothing keep you from being in heaven with Jesus Christ. Don't let anything make you go to hell and accept the, what, you can't even grasp what hell is. We can't even grasp it. You know what hell is? It's separation from God, worst of all. I don't know what that is, but that scares me when I think about it. Separated from God for eternity. Well, not only do we review our responsibility, we You know, we have to ask ourselves, one responsibility is that we examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians tells us in 13:5 to examine ourselves to make sure that we know the Spirit of God dwells within us. He said, unless you're scared of failing the test. That's what Paul says in Corinthians. Well, not only do we review our responsibility, which is a forsaking of the flesh, but secondly, we rely on a resource. Look at 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Man, this is a focus. Realize when Christ, when you accept Christ and He comes to dwell in you, the focus is the Holy Spirit is there, and no longer are you powerless. No longer are you without what you need to overcome the temptations and the things that the world throws at you. It's a relying on our resource. A focus is on, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. No longer are you an outcast, but you're in the family. And we'll talk a little more about that in the next one. Boy, when we get a hold of it, we'll realize whose family we're in now. Wow. Our focus is on the life that's being led by the Spirit of God that dwells within us. We're not talking about a religious practice either. Oh, I go to church, or I sing in the choir, or I teach Sunday school. We're not talking about that. These are all markers of things. You know, Christianity is not known, as I was telling the young people, is not known by what we don't do. Man, that's not what Christians, what we do. Man, it's what we live out in Christ to a world, a lost world. It's not because, oh, they don't do that, they don't do this. If that all Christianity is to you, that's sad. That's not a relationship. When we have a relationship with God to the point where it says the Spirit says, man, we're sons of God. Sons and daughters. Children of the family. You know, if I'm in a relationship, I think I'm going to know it. Are you not? If you're in a relationship, I think I'm going to know it. I'm in a relationship now with my wife. I love her. Now, it's not always roses, pleasant things. I'm not going to paint a picture for you of that. Sometimes she has to put up with me, and can you imagine that? But I love her. We communicate. We talk. We fellowship together. She prayed for me this morning. Man, that's priceless. Is there any way that I would have a wife and not know it? How can the relationship when I have with God and not know it? You don't have to guess. We'll see that the scriptural tell us that we know. We can know. We spend time with Him in Bible study and fellowship and prayer. We desire to bring glory to His name. It's all about, He didn't save you just so you could say, well, I'm going to heaven. He saved you to bring glory to Him and point people to Christ. That's why He saves us. Many times, I've seen people that live in the flesh and blame it on the Spirit. Have you ever seen people say, well, the Lord told me to do this, and guess what? It doesn't line up with this word. I don't care what it was. It was not the Lord. If it doesn't line up or go through the screen of this holy word, and you can say all you want to that God told me to, He did not tell you something that will go contrary to His word. Never. Never. And a lot of people will blame living in the flesh on the Spirit. God led me. God forbid that we do something like that. Godly wisdom always brings glory to God. It's always a life that's set apart to God always brings glory to life. Oh yeah, we might have a bad day and we might stumble, but guess what? He said we get back and we focus on God and we realize we're in His family, which will be our next point. And we go on and bring glory to His name. You see, not only do we review the responsibility, that's a forsaking of the flesh. We rely on our resource. We focus on the Spirit that dwells in us. But next, we relax in the reassurance. Look at 15 through 17. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. You know what? We've forsaken, when we were looking and we were reviewing our responsibility, we were forsaking the flesh. When we relied on our resources, we were focusing on the Spirit. But when we relax in the reassurance, we're family. We're family. Look what the Scripture says. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. I'm going to ask you, if I said, what is the opposite of love? What would be the answer? Hate. That's that's logical. But in the Scripture, I want you to see something. Many times, the opposite of love in Scripture is fear. You say, what are you saying? Look what it says in 1 John 4:18. I'll read it. Therefore, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. A love, a relationship with Christ, and we love Him, we don't have to fear. Oh, I hope I'm good enough. Are you saved, brother? I hope so. I hope I get to go to heaven. Is that reassurance? For goodness sake, if you're one of them people, I hope so. You don't have to hope. You can know. The Bible says to be absent from the body is what? Present with the Lord. John said, he said that you may know that you're saved and whose you are. You don't have to hope. That's fear. That's relying on, well, I sure hope I'm good enough. You're not good enough, by the way. None of us are. We can't do enough to make it right with God. It's only through Christ. Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will bring you unto myself, is what he said. If I go to prepare this place, I'll come back and bring you unto myself. Is that a promise? Is that, I sure hope Jesus was telling me the truth. Was he telling you the truth? Yes. We can relax in reassurance. Why? Because we're in his family. How are we in his family? Look again. But receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You see, the neat thing about adoption is the parents pick out the child. We naturally just got dealt what we got as parents, okay? I love my kids. I'm just saying, I didn't choose. God gave my son and a daughter, right? But in adoption, you actually go down to a place and you look at the child and you pray and you pick out what child that you want. That's what God did for us. He picked us. He chose us and he gave us a relationship. You know what that means? Abba, Father, that we can call him Daddy. We can call him Daddy. Only one man that I call Daddy. He's not with us anymore, but I call him Daddy. But I think about that relationship, you know, with God, that I can say, Daddy. I always feel so humbled that I feel very irreverent not to do that, but the Scripture says you can call him Daddy. What he's trying to show you is a term of endearment. You're that close to God. He loves you that much. He adopted you into his family that he can say, hey, just call me Dad. Wow. And he's saying we can relax in reassurance because we're in his family, because he chose us. And then he says in 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're his children. There's no hope in that. I sure hope I'm good enough. He said you've got a spirit of God that bears witness with your spirit that tells you that you're his child. February 28, 1990, when God opened my eyes and I got sick of myself and how it was, just to the point where it's like I was at the end of my road, Lord. He saved me. And his spirit dwelt within, coming to dwell within me. And you know what? I have a battle. We have the flesh and the pride and selfishness and all that. It's real, still a battle within us. But you know what? There's a spirit of God that says no to that. That ain't what you're supposed to be about. You're not supposed to be about you. You're supposed to be about me and bringing glory to me. And yeah, I might trip and fall by dust up and say, I'm in the family. I'm in the family because of what he's done. Not what I do. Not because of my goodness. I sure don't have to hope so. I hope I'm good enough. But I can know. I'm in the family because the Spirit bears witness with my spirit that a child of God. Has his spirit ever bared witness with your spirit? I'm not talking about a mind knowledge, grandma and grandpa, whatever. They took me to church all my life, and all I've ever known is church and all these things. I'm not talking about that. That's a mind understanding. I'm talking about a heart understanding where the Spirit of God dwells within you, and he pricks your heart. You know what he'll do sometimes? He'll make me go say I'm sorry to somebody that I don't want to go say I'm sorry to. Because flesh don't want to admit when we're weak and when we've done things wrong. And sometimes he'll say, I can't tell you the times working at Dana where somebody made me mad, you know, and I'm like, ooh, and he'll say, go apologize to them. That's the Spirit of God that dwells in you, because the natural man, he don't want to do that. We're all about winning. There's no fights, by the way, that anybody wins. That's a bunch of garbage. We all lose. Spirit of God bears witness. Has your Spirit of God ever bared witness with your spirit that you're his child? That's what the Scripture says. And that's what Paul said. You can relax in the reassurance. You don't have to hope. You can know today. You can know. We're adopted into the family. Man, what a thought. Child of God, child of the King. said, look, as he finished that part, and if children, because you are a child, because you were adopted because of what blood, the blood of Jesus Christ and the redemption price that he paid, and if children, then heirs. Now look, we're getting into something here. And heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. All that Christ has, you have. All the power of God that raised Christ from the dead, that created the entire universe, you have. You can't say, well, I can't do it. No, you can't, but he can. His Spirit dwells within us. And he said, you're an heir now, man. You're a joint heir. If indeed, he said, with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. It's not a life about gravy, grace, and gospelation. If I do everything right, if I have enough faith, everything will go hunky-dory. Everything will be fine. Well, if I give $10, I'll get $1,000 back in Jesus' name. Show me scripture and verse for that, please. He says, in fact, he says, if I'm an heir of Jesus Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, it's a life that's not always pleasant. Why? Because you're going against the stream constantly. Young people in school, you have to talk long to them to know that you're in a worldview that's going just exactly opposite to what the biblical thing. That's tough. That's tough. That's a tough life to live. We live in that environment. We need to pray for our young people. It's getting tougher and tougher and tougher on them. He says, if we suffer with him, we'll be glorified one of these days together. You see, there's coming a day, my friend. And that's what our last point is. Rejoice in the reckoning. Look at verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18, for this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul's saying, you know what? It ain't all about the here and now. It ain't all about today. But it's talking about a future with Christ. He says, one of these days, and I know you hear this, but do we really grasp it, that we have a future? We have a future. Read the end of the book, we win. Sometimes it don't feel like you're winning. Sometimes you face hardship. Man, we could tell stories of hardship. But we have a future. Paul's saying, you got a future. If you're in Christ, you're one of his sons. You're adopted in a family. You've been bought with a price. You got a future. And it's not the here and now. You see, these few years, how many of you can say amen to that few years when y'all, they just go by like a vapor? And we get so caught up in the here and now and the temporary and setting things aside, trying to fix everything and where it all fits into the mold of the here and now, that sometimes we lose focus of the future. How important our future is with Christ and how we can grasp on. When we wrestle with that flesh, it's just an indicator that if we're having a wrestling match, then there's something else that's dwelling within us, by the way. The Spirit of God that he's trying to get you those bad days to overcome for you to realize, you know what, there's more to it than the here and now. And one of these days, it will be all about the glory of God. And we'll rest together. No more hardship. No more hostility. No more sin. No more fallenness. Only glory and basking with God in his glory together forever in a place called heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done. That is the truth. That is not a fairy tale. That is the truth of God that was written in his word that said one of these days it's all going to be over and we're going to stand before God. Now my question is, if you had to stand before God tonight, right now or this morning, if God, all right, all of a sudden the ceiling split open, Christ comes back, does that bring fear to you or does that bring assurance that you know you have Christ? Does your spirit testify that, yes, I'll stand before God because of what Christ has done? If not, you need to make sure before you leave here because he can come at any moment. We're going to have bad days. October 10th, 1993, my dad, I was there when he passed away. 20 years now. Now, we've lost loved ones. We can talk about that. But I never thought, see, I had four sisters, and I was next to the youngest. So I had become the man of the family that day. Had to take care of him and do things and poke his tongue back in his mouth. Just things you never think about doing as your dad. I've done it to many a deer, but you never think about doing it to your dad. Loading him on a gurney so they could take him away. Boy, that was a rough day. That was a bad day. But you know what? I had Christ to hang on to in that time. And it shook me plumb down to the foundation of, is this real? I promise you, you get shook sometimes in life. Bad days come and you get shook, but when you get shook down the bottom, if the solid foundation is Jesus Christ, you can stand on that today. You can stand on that and you can have hope in Christ. You cannot have a bad day, yes, for sure, but the Spirit of God will get you through it. And you don't have to focus on the here and now. You can focus on the future. And there's a day coming, my friend. A day coming. Well, as the pianist come to play, Brittany, come and lead us in the song. My question to you is, and before we start, I like that, Ellen, what you did. I want us to take out just a moment, a couple moments, close our eyes in silence. I want you not to have anything distracted, but I want you to be you and God, and I want you to do business with Him, and you ask Him, and you see, am I really saved? Is your spirit really dwelling within you? Don't you leave here lost today. Don't leave here lost. Or maybe you're having a bad day. You're going through a bad time. And you just need to thank God that His Spirit dwells in you and you can get you through these bad days. It might be that you're focused on the temporary and not the eternal. Let's take out just a few moments of silence before God. Do business with Him. Father, I pray You'll touch every heart. You know what the need is here today. God, please don't let nobody leave here lost. But help this be the day that they come to know You, that they're adopted into the family. We thank You, Lord, and we praise You for what You're doing. Thank You for what You're doing in my heart. And so we turn this part of the service over to You and ask the Holy Spirit to do Your work in Christ's name.